Mr. Wallace, reel 4.
And that was the time when the Russians wanted to take Port Arthur. That was when the Japs done that.
Yeah.
Hairy carry. Mm. That's
when you were in Singapore. Did you get shore leave?
Oh yes.
What sort of place was Singapore for sailors? Where did you go?
Well, Singapore, it's a place where it rains on an average 40 minutes in the hour. You might get a day with no rain and then you get 3 days rain. But of course it was a very, very nice city.
Now, what sort of things would sailors do in Singapore?
Well, just go ashore the same as they did in any foreign port.
Mm. Any particular places you'd go to?
Well, a good many of them went to Malay Street. That's where the girls were. Girls were all sitting in the windows with numbers on them. You went and asked them to number 17. All right, number 17. Off you went upstairs. But you could get some very fine stuff. I had, not at that time, I didn't have anything then. I mean, I was only a kid then. But I went to Singapore later, when we went on the world cruise. And I had some very fine, I had a beautiful armchair, you know, made by the natives there. And a Chinese tea set, you know, eggshell china.
Yes. Yes. Were there any sailors' homes in Singapore?
Oh, yes, there was a sailors' home.
Who was that run by?
Oh, some private firm. Sailors of all nations, you know. Yes. Not just British sailors like Aggie Westman. Aggie Westman was just for Britain, for the British Navy. Yes. But there was a sailors' home in Singapore. But it was an international place. Anybody could go. Anybody went in there. Although they very rarely got a foreign ship in there.
How did you find Hong Kong as a port, as compared with Singapore? Did you prefer it?
Well, Hong Kong at that time, you went ashore in Hong Kong, and you got rickshaw. Bloody Chinese. With a bloody rickshaw, you get in, he pulls you up at 5 bloody miles, and he give him tuppence. You had the Chinese women come aboard, take a washing. They used to take it ashore and do it with lumps of stone, you know, in the water, bang it between lumps of stone, but they used to do it. And you always got your washing back, and it was very, very cheap. Of course, it saved you the trouble of doing it on board the ship. Because there was very, very little. In the training ship, it wasn't so bad. You had, when I was in the Emerald, it was pretty well easy to do your washing. Well, it was bloody hard, excuse my language. But it was easy compared to a big ship because you've got no room. There's no room anywhere to do it. You've just got a blooming bucket and you're washing like that. Mm. And then there's a job to dry it. Of course, you have got people, what they call themselves a Dobian firm, a bloke that wants to make a little bit of extra money. And at that time, you could get a flannel, a pair, anything. It didn't matter what it was. A jumper, a pair of trousers, 2D a time. 2D, not 2P. So you had to work hard. And he had to wash that and dry it and press it. You know how the sailor's trousers were always pressed, don't you?
No.
Oh, they were always concertina. If you've seen a sailor with bare bottoms on, they were always concertinaed. They were like they didn't have a seam down here. The seams were like this.
Yes.
They were all like concertina. The way they used to fold them up and tie them. Oh, they were very, very proud of their wide trousers. Mm.
Going back to Hong Kong, Mr. Wallace, you told me the kind of places sailors went to in Singapore. What were the usual haunts for sailors in Hong Kong?
Just the same.
Which were the particular places they'd go? Which were the particular places they would go to in Hong Kong?
Oh, well, the bank shanties, the brothels. I mean, our name was bank shanties, but they were brothels. And of course, you get girls of all nations in them brothels. Well, all over the world you've got them all like that, but they're examined every twice a week, you know. They're medically examined twice a week. It's not like the same as London, where you go in London and get hold of a prostitute and get a present you didn't deserve, you didn't bargain for. You didn't get any of them in Jim or Malta. Although there's all of the places are there in Jim, they're in Malta and everywhere else. Everywhere bar in England.
You give me the impression that in foreign ports, all sailors mainly did was look for drink and women.
Well, that's mostly, yes. I won't say all the sailors, but the great majority of them.
Now, tell me about your service aboard the Vengeance. That was your first operational ship.
Well, I was just a signal boy then.
You were a signal boy, yes. What sort of mess room did you have on the Vengeance? What was the mess room like on the Vengeance?
Oh, no, the mess, very good indeed.
Describe it for me.
Yes, oh yes. I mean, you had your mess and you were allowed so much of this, so much of that. You had always, all my time in the Navy you had two members of the mess were cook for the day, from noon today till noon tomorrow. Then two more used to come over. Of course now, all the cooking and all the preparations are all done by a qualified staff.
Mm. Which did you prefer, canteen messing or general messing?
Oh, general messing. Oh, 10 times better.
Why was that?
Well, I mean, you didn't have no preparations. There's no preparation before. I mean, with the canteen mess, you went to the canteen and you got so much cabbage, so much Swedes, and prepare them yourself. Whereas with the general mess like they got now, well, you don't know there's a menu there every day, a different menu every week, and you just go to the galley and collect the number. They know how many, there's a dish there for each mess and there's sufficient meals for all concerned.
This was your first operational experience aboard Vengeance. How did you find routine, daily routine on the ship?
Well, we were a brand new commission. We just had to get used to the ship, get used to our duties. We were in Singapore for quite a long time. We went to Hong Kong after the Russian fleet passed through Singapore, Strait Settlements of Singapore. We went on to Hong Kong. We stopped at Hong Kong until after the Battle of... Oh, you got up in the morning, you lashed your hammock up, stowed your hammock, washed, dressed, and cleaned ship. That was the most important thing, cleaned ship.
What did that involve?
Hoses, scrubbers. All the upper deck was scrubbed every day, you know. I mean, if you were to see the deck of a battleship or a cruiser, you could, as you looked it along, you could see the wood, the grains of the wood shining out. You could see the black mark where the pitch was put down between the planks, because you could eat your food off the deck.
So a lot of attention was given to spit and polish.
Oh, it was all spit and polish. Everything was spit and polished. Every bit of bright work, that everything that you could polish was polished.
Were there particular navy ways of doing these things?
Well, at that time, at that time, there was no bluebell. There was a...
Bluebell was metal polish.
Bluebell was metal polish. That came out later. Of course, that was used when it came out. Mm. But you used to have a kind of tins of paste. And you used to use that. And you used to use brickbat. You know what brickbat is? Well, it's a kind of a soft brick. And you get a rag and rub it on, and then rub it, you know, with the grit. But everything had to be all... Everything had to be perfect. That what? Was all... Mm. There was much too much spit and polish right from the start of my time.
Give me a few more examples of the spit and polish.
Well, the guns. If you see a gun, every possible part of it that could be polished was polished. If you see a rails, handrails, they were polished. If you went up a stairs, a ladder, you know, like a companionway, where there was brass strips along the thread, like to save it from wearing out. That was all polished. Everything polishable would be polished.
I've heard it said that you know a ship from her boats. The ship's boats were often given a lot of particular attention.
They were.
What sort of attention?
Well, if you get in a boat, she's got bottom boards. That's as the she's that shape. There's a board fits down there and a board fits down there. Well, them boards, they're lifted out, and you got shark skin. In the ship stores, they keep a supply of shark skin. Not a great deal, but now and again you can get some shark skin, and they use that for scrubbing. So everything is scrubbed to the bitter end. Every bit of wood is scrubbed. Almost worn out.
You thought they went to extremes a bit, did you?
Oh, they did. They went too far. They did go much too far.
Any particular things that you thought were really rather silly?
Oh, in every the way the boats were looked after, the way the boats. They used to have a saying: "As a ship is known by her boats." Everybody tried to be different to everybody else. I mean, you've got Barfleur here, Vengeance there, Ocean there, Glory there, Albion there, and each one wants to be better than the other.
And how would
it's
they...
It's all competition.
And they all try to be a bit different. In what
they
ways?
They all try to be different in any possible way they can.
Give me some examples.
In cleaning.
Yeah.
In cleaning and polishing.
You mean they all tried to go a bit further than the other?
Yes.
Yeah. Right.